The morning light had barely touched the blinds when Daniel Kearns noticed the empty space where his balance used to be. On his laptop screen, the numbers blinked back, zeros stacked like mockery. For a long moment, he thought it was a system error, a glitch that would fix itself if he refreshed the page. But each click only deepened the truth. $65,000, his retirement, his safety net gone. He stared at the frozen login screen, replaying every message, every smile from the woman who had promised to teach him the future of investing. The emails were gone too. Only silence and a soft hum from the old computer fan filled the room. Somewhere, thousands of miles away, someone had already cashed him out, part of the $10 billion loss to internet fraud in 2023. Daniel leaned back, the light dimming across his face. The age of digital trust had just betrayed him. Chapter 1: The Perfect Stranger. The hum of the air conditioner filled the small apartment, its rhythm steady, almost hypnotic. Daniel Kern sat at the edge of his kitchen table, a chipped mug of coffee cooling beside him, his laptop glowing faintly in the half-light. It had been another sleepless night. The kind where silence felt heavier than noise, and the blue light of the screen seemed more alive than the world outside. He had been talking to her again. Erica. That was the name she used. Her messages came wrapped in warmth, her tone kind and deliberate. She didn't rush him the way so many others online did. She asked about his day, his garden, the old vinyl records he still played on weekends. Over weeks, their conversations became routine, morning greetings, shared links, photos that looked real enough to touch. At first, Daniel had no reason to doubt her. She wasn't selling anything. She didn't even ask for money. She talked about life, how lonely the markets felt, how people didn't believe in real connection anymore. It sounded like something Daniel himself might have said. The first time she mentioned investing, it was casual, almost hesitant. "You ever think about where your savings are going, Danny?" she typed, the nickname appearing after a month of friendly banter. He had chuckled at the familiarity, not realizing then that every line, every phrase, was calibrated. He told her he didn't trust those things, crypto, stocks, online funds. "I'm not a gambler," he said. She replied, "Neither am I. I'm careful. I only bet on people who do their homework." That night, Daniel dreamed of numbers and light, of spinning coins and floating screens. He woke up sweating, unable to tell if it had been excitement or fear. By the time spring came, he was checking the markets daily. Erica's advice always seemed to land just right. "Pull back today," she'd say, and the charts would fall hours later. "Re-enter tomorrow morning, and they'd rise again." He thought she was lucky. She told him it wasn't luck, it was insight. One evening in late April, she called him by video for the first time. The signal was faint, the image blurry, but her voice, soft, with an accent he couldn't quite place, cut through. "You trust me now, yes?" she said, smiling. He nodded before thinking. The smile felt familiar, comforting. She guided him to open an account on a new platform, something called StarTrade Global. It looked professional, slick interface, real-time charts, two-factor verification. He transferred a small test amount, $500. Within a week, the balance showed $680. He was hooked. The transformation was quiet but complete. Daniel began to believe he was part of something bigger, smarter. For years, he had worked as a warehouse supervisor, clocking in and out without purpose. But now, every morning brought a new rush, the glow of gains, the ping of Erica's message, the illusion of progress. He withdrew a few hundred to test it. The money came through instantly. That was all the proof he needed. He reinvested everything. Then more. 10,000. 20. 40. By August, nearly his entire retirement fund was sitting inside the platform, earning steady returns. When his sister called from Denver, asking about his health, he told her everything was fine. "You sound lighter," she said. He laughed. "I'm doing something new," he told her. "Finally learning how to make my money work." Late one night, Erica sent him a link to a private chat group. A dozen members, all trading tips and cheering one another on. They congratulated him on his gains. "Danny, you're killing it," one message said. The usernames looked random, Alex G, Crypto Queen, Mars FX, but their tone was always the same, encouraging, supportive, real. He began to feel part of a family. When Erica said she was proud of him, he believed her. Then came the first warning sign. The platform froze during a withdrawal request. A red banner flashed across the screen. Verification delay, 24 hours. Erica assured him it was normal. "Big update," she said. "Happens all the time with good systems." 2 days later, his balance doubled overnight. It should have made him happy. Instead, it scared him. The numbers didn't make sense. He tried to withdraw again. This time, the system asked for a tax preclearance fee. Erica explained it away as a new regulation. "It's just a deposit, Danny. Once cleared, you'll get it back." He hesitated. She sent a photo of herself, hand over heart, saying, "Do you trust me?" The payment went through on a Sunday morning. That evening, Erica vanished. The chat group went silent. The website stopped loading. Daniel refreshed the page again and again, his hands shaking harder each time. Then came the emptiness, white screen, error message, silence. He sat in that silence for a long time. Hours, maybe. When he finally called his bank, the voice on the other end was calm, practiced. "I'm sorry, sir. Once it's cryptocurrency, there's nothing we can do." He hung up before the woman could finish. A week later, two agents from the FBI's cyber division knocked on his door. One was young, sharp-eyed, typing notes on a tablet. The other was older, quieter, watching Daniel the way doctors watch patients who've already lost too much. "You're not alone," the older agent said gently. "It's part of a larger operation. Hundreds of victims. We're seeing patterns tied to overseas networks." Daniel nodded, though he barely understood. He wasn't thinking about networks. He was thinking about trust, how easy it was to give it, how impossible it was to get it back. The agent handed him a card. "We'll stay in touch. Keep your records. Don't delete anything." When they left, Daniel sat in front of his laptop again. The reflection in the black screen looked older than he remembered. Outside, the summer heat pressed against the windows. Somewhere far away, another message was already being typed to someone else. Another, Erica, promising a better future. Daniel opened a blank document and began typing what little he knew. Transaction IDs, message logs, screenshots. His fingers trembled, but he kept going. He wasn't writing for the agents. He wasn't writing for himself. He was writing for whoever came next, someone still believing in a smile behind a screen. The cursor blinked at the end of the final line, waiting. In the quiet, Daniel whispered the question that would haunt the rest of the story. "How do you catch a ghost made of code?" Chapter 2. Ghosts in the Wire. The office of the FBI Cyber Division in Arlington buzzed like a machine running too hot. Dozens of monitors glowed across the dim room, lines of code scrolling endlessly, blue light reflected in tired eyes. Special Agent Nora Bradley leaned over a workstation, her fingers tracing the screen where clusters of transactions connected like spider silk. "Every wallet leads to another," said Agent Thomas Reed, her partner. "Shell companies, tumblers, crypto mixers. It's a hall of mirrors." Nora stared at the chain. It stretched through seven countries, Singapore, Cyprus, the Seychelles, each link dissolving into another. It wasn't a single fraud. It was an ecosystem. Reed exhaled. IC3 logged over 800,000 complaints last year. Investment scams lead the pack, $4.5 billion gone. That's just what people reported. Nora didn't respond. Her focus lingered on one particular wallet ID. The same one that had received a transfer from a victim named Daniel Kearns. She remembered his voice from the interview notes, quiet, flat, disbelieving. "Let's pull Kearns's full report," she said. "Start from his transfers. Follow his trail, not theirs." Two floors below, Daniel sat in a gray conference room, a paper cup of coffee untouched beside him. He had driven 3 hours from his apartment to answer their questions. "Just tell it the way you remember," Nora said, setting down a small recorder. Daniel nodded slowly. "It started with a woman. Said her name was Erica. She talked about trading, about safe ways to grow money. It sounded real." His voice wavered. "I didn't think I was the kind of man who'd fall for that." Nora gave him a small nod. "They're good at what they do. They learn you before they sell you." She slid a photo across the table, an image captured from a seized server, the same woman's face Daniel had seen for months. He blinked. "That's her." "Not exactly," Nora said. "That face belongs to someone else. The real woman lives in Poland. Her pictures were stolen 3 years ago." Daniel's expression cracked. The realization didn't come as shock. It came as confirmation. He had suspected it, deep down, but hearing it out loud made it final. "She was never real," he whispered. In the lab next door, Reed traced the data flow from StarTrade Global's server. "Whoever built this knew how to move in shadows," he said. "Each deposit converts to crypto, jumps across two mixers, and lands in a cold wallet within minutes." He turned to Nora. "They don't touch the money. They move it until it forgets where it came from. Nora leaned closer to the screen. But they make mistakes. Everyone does. Reed smiled faintly. You think we'll find one?
I don't think, she said.
I hope. Days became weeks. Each new report told the same story in different words. A nurse in Oregon. A mechanic in Texas. A widow in Vermont. Different names, same script. Promises of safety. Screenshots of fake profits. Disappearing accounts. By mid-September, Nora's wall of evidence was covered in faces, victims, not suspects. The operation stretched too wide, too coordinated for one person. Reed walked in holding a new report. Interpol flagged an exchange in Kuala Lumpur. Same wallet pattern. They're calling it the Mirror Bank. Nora looked up. Let's dig it. The deeper they went, the more the story resembled something human. People working in call centers, trained to charm, to mirror, to build trust. Scripts written by psychologists. Schedules tracked like factory shifts. Reed scrolled through an intercepted training manual translated from Mandarin. Empathy builds loyalty. Loyalty opens wallets. Never ask for money, offer opportunity. Sell belonging first, profit second. He shut the file slowly. They're not hackers. They're salespeople. Nora's jaw tightened. Salespeople with blood on their hands. Meanwhile, Daniel's days blurred. He tried to rebuild his routine, morning coffee, short walks, phone calls with his sister, but everything felt staged. Even the sound of notifications made his stomach twist. He had begun keeping a small notebook, scribbling reminders of what he'd learned from the agents. Never invest through strangers. Trust your instincts, not their proof. Real love doesn't ask for wire transfers. Still, the ache remained. One night, he opened a fresh email. Subject line: New investment opportunity, rebuilding hope. He froze. The wording, the layout, it was identical. A perfect replica. The scammers hadn't stopped. They had simply moved on. Daniel closed the laptop, walked to the window, and stared out at the lights below. Somewhere out there, someone was typing the same promises that had destroyed him. He whispered into the glass, "Don't fall for it." Back at the bureau, Nora and Reed got their first real break. A minor exchange in Slovenia had flagged suspicious traffic. One account matching the Mirror Bank pattern had accidentally reused a KYC document. Reed leaned closer. That's sloppy. Whoever uploaded this used a real passport. They ran it through the database. A name appeared, Viktor Yanov, Bulgarian national, 38, linked to a defunct import company dissolved in 2020. Gotcha, Reed said quietly. Nora raised an eyebrow. One name in a sea of ghosts. Let's see where he leads. Days later, through a maze of subpoenas and data requests, the pattern crystallized. Yanov wasn't a mastermind, he was a middleman. His company received crypto from mixers, converted it into stablecoins, and forwarded it through a network of mule accounts. Each mule received a small commission and vanished after one or two transfers. The bureau had names, half a dozen so far. Enough for a sting, but not yet enough for indictments. Reed sighed. We can't arrest them all. Nora stared at the map. We don't have to. We just need one link to crack. That night, she called Daniel. We've found someone, she said. Did you catch them?
Not yet. But we're close.
Daniel's silence stretched. Do you really think you'll stop them? Nora hesitated before answering. Maybe not all. But maybe we can slow them down. He exhaled. Then that's something. Before hanging up, Nora added, your case helped us connect the dots. You weren't just a victim, Daniel. You were the key. When the call ended, Daniel stared at the phone. For the first time in months, he felt something unfamiliar, purpose. The bureau set the sting for mid-October. They followed a new crypto wallet that Yanov had used for laundering to an account registered in California, a shell LLC posing as a tech consultant. A meeting was arranged through an undercover agent posing as a high-value investor looking to partner in a new fund. In a rented office in Los Angeles, the trap was set. Cameras hidden, phones monitored, exits covered. At 2 in the afternoon, the door opened. Yanov stepped in, confident, smiling. He wore a navy suit and sunglasses, carrying a briefcase that looked too polished for his life. The agent greeted him with a handshake, the conversation playing out like business. You know, crypto is the future, Yanov said. Only if it's clean, replied the agent. When Yanov connected his laptop to demonstrate live trading data, the forensic team outside intercepted the signal. Within seconds, the data matched wallet IDs tied to StarTrade Global. Confirmed,
Reed said over comms. It's him. The signal went out. Move in. Agents flooded the room. FBI. Hands where we can see them. Yanov froze, his expression shifting from confidence to disbelief. He didn't run. He just looked at the nearest agent and whispered, "You'll never find them all." Hours later, back in Arlington, Nora watched the live decrypt feed of Yanov's seized laptop. Folders opened, revealing spreadsheets, chat logs, even internal memos labeled in Mandarin. At the top of one file was a name that none of them recognized. "Who's Project Midas?" Reed asked. Nora leaned closer. "Whatever it is, it's bigger than we thought." The monitors flickered, the screen filled with thousands of lines of transactions. Each one a stolen dream, a stolen life. She rubbed her eyes, exhaustion settling in. "We've caught a messenger," she murmured. "Now we need to find the architects." That same night, Daniel sat on his porch under a fading sky, his laptop open but untouched. He had read the email Nora sent, arrest made. Investigation ongoing. He didn't feel vindicated. He felt hollow. Justice, he realized, wasn't about getting even. It was about stopping the next one. He closed the laptop and looked up at the stars. They shimmered faintly, distant and cold. Somewhere, beyond the wires and waves, another scammer was preparing another script, another lie. Daniel whispered into the night, "I hope they find you." Then he went inside, the porch light flickering behind him. Chapter 3. The Ledger of Shadows. The fluorescent lights in the Bureau's cybercrimes unit burned long past midnight. Most of the desks were empty, but the servers hummed like restless ghosts. Agent Nora Bradley leaned over the digital forensics monitor, eyes fixed on a single folder extracted from Victor Yanov's laptop, labeled simply, Midas. Inside were spreadsheets unlike anything she'd seen before, columns of coded wallet addresses linked to shell accounts across Europe, Asia, and the Caribbean. At the bottom of each line was a single figure. Commission, 3%. Reed stepped into the room carrying two coffees. Still awake, Nora didn't look up. If this data's right, Midas isn't a name. It's a hierarchy. He frowned. A what? A network of brokers who sell access to victims. They don't just steal, she paused, the weight of it settling. They trade people's trust like inventory. The room fell silent except for the low buzz of the equipment. By dawn, the Bureau had pulled together an interagency task force. Analysts cross-checked Yanov's files with the IC3 database, and patterns began to emerge. The same scripts, the same cloned websites, identical text blocks across hundreds of fake investment portals. The source traced back to a cluster of IPs in Cambodia, an office compound hidden behind a legitimate tech outsourcing firm. "Call center," Reed said. "They're running it like a factory." Nora nodded. "We hand it to Interpol, get the local unit to move." But nothing about it was quick. Warrants, coordination, jurisdiction, all of it took weeks. During that time, the scammers adapted. Domains went dark. Wallets vanished into new ones. Midas, it seemed, had learned to shed its skin. Meanwhile, Daniel tried to move on. He'd started volunteering at a community center, helping retirees navigate online banking. Every Thursday morning, he sat at a long table showing them how to recognize fake links, how to double-check sender addresses, how not to give away what took a lifetime to earn. One woman asked, "Did something like this ever happen to you?" Daniel smiled faintly. "Something close," he said. "But I learned." He didn't tell her that some nights he still woke up hearing Erica's voice in his head, soft and reassuring, promising a better future. That part belonged to the past. 3 weeks later, Nora's phone buzzed at 2 a.m. It was Reed. "They found it," he said. "The compound in Phnom Penh." Interpol moved at dawn. She was fully awake in seconds. "Any arrests?" 42. Dozens of computers, fake passports, bank cards. "And Nora," he hesitated. "They found a live server." Her heart kicked. "Please tell me it's the one." "It's the source of StarTrade Global," he confirmed. "And a dozen others." When the decrypted data reached Arlington, Nora spent hours combing through the logs. Every victim's name, every deposit, every message. It was all there, cataloged like an archive of human pain. In one folder she saw Daniel's file. His chats. His transactions. His photos. She froze. One of the final entries showed a transfer, his money, rerouted into an account now sitting in a holding wallet. Unclaimed. Reed appeared behind her. "That's his." "Looks like it," she said. "A fraction of the total, but traceable." He raised an eyebrow. "We can recover it." She shrugged.
If we move fast, before it moves again. Days later, she called Daniel to tell him. It's not everything, she said carefully. Maybe 10% of what you lost. But it's real. It's clean. He didn't answer right away. When he spoke, his voice was steady. That's enough. Nora smiled. We'll need you to sign restitution papers. Might take a few weeks. I'll be here, he said. After she hung up, Nora sat back, the exhaustion finally settling in. For every Daniel, there were hundreds more whose names she didn't know. The Ledger of Shadows was longer than any report would ever show. In Phnom Penh, the raid site was being cleared. Rows of computers lined the walls, wires tangled like roots of a dead tree. Officers escorted out men and women in plain t-shirts, their faces blank. Among them was a young technician who had handled account setups. When questioned, he said softly, "We just followed the list." "Who gave you the list?" asked the translator. He looked down. "Midas," he whispered. Back in the States, news broke. International cyber fraud ring dismantled. The headlines were brief, clinical, already fading from the cycle within a day. But for the agents who had chased it across months and borders, the silence afterward was its own kind of reward. In her office, Nora printed the final report and slid it into a folder marked closed. Then she turned off her monitor and stared out the window. Rain traced thin lines down the glass. "Ghosts in the wire," she murmured. "We caught a few." Reed leaned on the doorway. "Think it's over?" "Not even close," she said. "But every arrest buys someone a little more time." That evening, Daniel received a small envelope from the Department of Justice, an official letter confirming restitution approval and a check enclosed. The amount was smaller than what he'd lost, but it felt heavier than it should. He placed it on his desk and stared at it for a long while. Then, quietly, he opened his notebook and wrote, "Trust is not a weakness. It's the first step in rebuilding." He tore the page out, folded it, and slipped it into the envelope before locking it in a drawer. Outside, the streetlights flickered against the rain. Somewhere, on some server, the remnants of Midas still waited to be found. But tonight, Daniel wasn't chasing ghosts. He stepped outside, breathing in the clean air, the storm finally breaking overhead. The sound of rain against pavement was steady real. For the first time in a year, he felt something close to peace. Weeks later, Nora visited him at the community center. She watched as he helped an elderly man reset his online banking password, patient and calm. When the session ended, she approached. "You're good at this," she said. He smiled. "Comes from experience." They walked to the parking lot in silence, the afternoon sun cutting through the clouds. "Do you ever think about her?" Nora asked. "Erica." Daniel's smile faded, but not entirely. "Sometimes. But she wasn't real. I guess that makes it easier." Nora nodded. "For what it's worth, you helped us stop a lot of people like her." He looked out toward the road. Then maybe it was worth something after all. That night, Nora returned to her apartment and poured herself a glass of water. The city lights shimmered beyond the window, endless and indifferent. She opened her laptop one last time to update the case notes. At the bottom, she wrote a single line. "Case closed. Shadows remain." She saved the file and shut the lid. Outside, the hum of distant traffic merged with the soft pulse of rain. Somewhere, someone else was already crafting the next promise, the next smile behind a screen. But for now, for one quiet night, the world felt just a little bit safer.